Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. He is the former head of the American Medical Association. Andrew Gurman is here. Good morning, Andrew. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
Andrew, I wanted to read a little portion of this. You are among a number of healthcare leaders who came out with a letter to the American public last week. And I just want to read just a little bit of this letter that you, along with many, many others, released last week. We write today as people who have dedicated our lives to helping people. As the former leaders of national healthcare organizations, we have come to understand how policy impacts public health. And just as importantly, the ability of American families to afford the health care they need, the possibility of Americans not getting essential health care, either because of the cost or lack of access, is among our greatest worries. If he is elected president again, Donald Trump will make our fears a reality. The price of health care for American families under Trump would skyrocket. Millions would lose access to health care altogether. While his specific policies are at best ambiguous, his track record and words make clear the damage he would do. Was that a difficult decision for you to make, Andrew, to sign on to this letter along with these other healthcare professionals?
Yeah, it was a very difficult decision. I mean, I've not been particularly active politically throughout my life. I've advocated forcefully on behalf of patients and physicians, including when I was president of the American Medical Association. And I guess I should state for the record that I am not speaking on behalf of the AMA. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. But I'm very concerned. I'm concerned about what happened during the first Trump presidency. And I'm concerned about what the possibility is for what's going forward. A number of the people who are co-signatories on this letter are experts in security matters, in other areas. I don't have any expertise in that, but they asked me if I would be interested in helping them out in the area of health policy, which is something I do know a little bit about. So I started the process that ended up in that letter, which was signed by 48 people, and people can go online and find the list. It's a pretty heady bunch to be part of.
Absolutely, and we will include this in our show notes after the show is over. So if you go to civicmedia.us, and you just go to shows, click on Matinair on Air, and that will take you to all of our shows.
All of our episodes.
They're an hour apiece, and it's really well broken down. But then we have show notes in there with links to these articles. So just so people remember, in the first 2 years of the Trump administration, they had all three branches. They had the House, the Senate, and the White House. And Donald Trump said at that time, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare with something great. That never happened.
That's correct. The first thing he did was he sued to try to get it declared illegal. That suit was unsuccessful. And then he tried to repeal it. And it failed by one vote in the Senate. God bless you, Senator McCain.
John McCain, yep. Yeah.
Oh, the thumbs down, wasn't
yep.
it? It was the
yep. It was the thumbs down.
2:30 in the morning, something like that. But the fact is that they didn't have anything to replace it. And Mr. Trump on the campaign trail this time for 2 years talked about how he was going to repeal it. And now he's going to replace it with something much better. But there have not been any particulars about how it's going to be made better.
What has the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, because they're the same thing, what has this done for the American people?
Well, it did several things. The biggest thing that it did was it expanded access through what are now called the Obamacare plans, the exchanges. But it provided an access for people to get insurance who otherwise wouldn't qualify. It also called for and enabled an extension of Medicaid, although states had to decide whether or not to do that. Some states did, some states didn't. The data are pretty clear that the states that didn't had worse health outcomes than those that did. Look, it's really very simple. People who don't have insurance, regardless of what the insurance is, people who don't have insurance live sicker and die younger. Those facts are incontrovertible. Because what happens is, and I'll use diabetes for an example, people who have diabetes and don't have access to health insurance or health care can't access a nurse diabetic educator or a clinician or a physician to be monitoring things like their hemoglobin A1C, which is an important blood test to see how your blood sugar levels are doing over time. So what happens is they simply ignore it because they don't have access, and then they get into trouble. They get into trouble because they go into what's called ketoacidosis, which is when your diabetes is totally out of control. Or they start showing the late effects of diabetes, which includes problems with your blood vessels. So they present to the emergency room with foot ulcers or infections or whatever, and they end up with amputations. Or even if they don't get that far, if they present in ketoacidosis, the emergency room can fix that. They can give you intravenous and drugs and some insulin and, you know, to get you out of that. But you go home and you still don't have access to a diabetic nurse educator or a clinician or the labs or good food or whatever.
You're going to be right back where you were, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it is more expensive, and people just live sicker and die younger. The Affordable Care Act provided access for those people.
Andrew Gurman is our guest. He is a former president of the American Medical Association, and he is one of 48 physicians and experts in the medical field who have signed on a letter to the American public about the threat a second Trump administration would have on our healthcare system. In this letter, it says the Trump administration supported expanding short-term insurance, which discriminates against sicker people and those with pre-existing conditions. Also, the ACA's premium subsidies will expire next year. So the next president will have the chance to implement major changes. Given his opposition to these subsidies in the past, we can only assume that they will be limited under a second Trump administration. So if you are covered under Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act right now, that could drastically change next year and not necessarily for the better.
There's two quick points I'd like to make if we have time.
Absolutely.
I have no idea what your time schedule is. The first is sort of one of the reasons that I wanted to be involved in this letter. My grandmother used to say, if you have your health, you have everything. And if you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Yep.
And this letter is an attempt to go out to the American people on behalf of people who, like we said in the letter, have spent our lives doing this. It doesn't matter what your politics are. It doesn't matter what your policy views are. You can disagree on the economy, on the border, on anything you want. But our concern is that if Trump gets back into the White House, that there will be drastic effects on your health. And we wanted people to know that. The second point I'd like to make, which is in the letter, but most people don't ask me about it. And that is the statements that Trump has been making regarding gutting the institutions of the federal government. People have talked mostly about justice and some of the other departments. But I think one of the things that scares me most is the possibility that institutions like the National Institutes of Health, the FDA, and the CDC will be brought under the political control of the White House as opposed to function as independent agencies. Trump fought with Dr. Fauci throughout most of the COVID epidemic, as well as the director of the CDC and other experts who he just didn't want to, it wasn't convenient for him to listen to. I want to tell you a story about a drug called thalidomide. I don't know whether most people have heard about it.
Yes.
Yes.
Thalidomide was a drug that was marketed in Germany in the 1950s as a treatment for the nausea associated with pregnancy, morning sickness, if you will. And it was brought to the FDA to be marketed in the United States. And the FDA said, we do not have enough safety data to allow this to be marketed here. No. And it turned out that within a year or two, we started seeing people born with horrible birth defects small hands attached to shoulders with no arm in between, small legs, whatever. And it was all due to the thalidomide. These are people who will live, some of them are still alive, will live long time with these lifelong deformities, disabilities. And it was the FDA that protected us against that. If the FDA is not free to offer that kind of independent advice, even if it's not necessarily convenient or wanted, I think that puts all Americans' health at risk. And that really scares me.
It should scare everyone, Andrew. It really should. We have talked several times about Project 2025 and what that would do and how essentially it does do away with the National Health Services and National Institute of Health. And also the possibility then where the administration comes to this organization, to this health organization, and says, these are the results we want. Now, do a study to back that up, not do a study on this thing and see where that leads you and what the results are, which is the normal procedure, correct? They're going to do things backward and say, this is the answer that we want. Now make it so. And make up the data to make it so.
I don't know that to be true, but my worry is that data or results which are inconvenient will simply not be publicized, or studies which might prove to be inconvenient, again, if it's under the political control of the executive branch, that they'll simply be told, don't do the study.
Yeah. We're going to continue this conversation. Andrew Gurman is here, a former president of the American Medical Association. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Andrew Gurman is our guest. He's a former president of the American Medical Association, and along with about 47 other medical experts, have signed an open letter to the American public about the impact a second Trump administration would have essentially on all of our healthcare. And before we went to the break, Andrew, we were talking a little bit about the Trump administration's response to COVID and how he was constantly fighting with, as you said, Dr. Fauci, Deborah Birx, when he was getting things he did not want to hear because that didn't go along with his narrative of COVID's going to disappear like a miracle and everything's going to be open in April and everything's going to be fine. That should really disturb everyone.
It certainly disturbs me. I mean, I will give him credit. Operation Warp Speed was a success. We got vaccines out to the public in really record time. And some of that is because of work that had been going on mRNA vaccines for quite some time. It was very problematic that he would not listen to experts, that a lot of disinformation about things like Plaquenil, ivermectin, bleach.
Shining a light on you.
Concerning. Yeah. There are lots of other infectious diseases out there You know, right now I'm reading, at least, and you're probably seeing also things about bird flu.
Yes.
showing up in meat, showing up in milk. We don't at this point think that it's a problem. And Lord knows, I hope that it isn't. But Ebola is still out there. There are other infectious agents. Measles is bouncing back and is an incredibly communicable disease. You know, so for people who are vaccine hesitant or anti-vax or whatever, you know, there are communities where measles could absolutely devastate them.
Well, and he, even on the campaign trail right now, he is saying he is going to cut off all federal money to any school that has a vaccine mandate. So do we want, polio back? We want chickenpox back, rubella, all those things. We're just going to smallpox. We just want them all back because you're afraid you're going to become magnetized if you get a shot. I know it's just, let's talk about the VA and the Veterans Administration, because again, for people who have forgotten, Donald Trump appointed two people who were members at his club at Mar-a-Lago to advise the VA.
The VA is a wonderful health system. It does marvelous work for veterans. It's a tremendous safety net. I will give Trump, again, credit for enacting a rule that allowed veterans to access care outside of the VA system. Unfortunately, then they didn't allocate any funding for it, or they actively worked to cut the funding so that you couldn't execute the program. Look, I'm a hand surgeon. For 30 years, I was the only hand surgeon for 100 miles in any direction. We now, thankfully, have a couple more colleagues in my area. Veterans couldn't come see me. They would have to go on a bus to Pittsburgh, 88 miles away, to the VA in Oakland. You know, I'd like to be able to take care of them. I have always taken care of veterans and TRICARE, which is the insurance for retired military. I've always been privileged to do that. But they have made it difficult.
So on the one hand, here's a good thing that I'm going to do for you. But by the way, we're not going to fund it. So good luck. And we've only got a couple of minutes left, Andrew. And it's a much larger discussion about reproductive care for women and healthcare for women. And we are already seeing cases around the country where women are now infertile because they were not able to get the help they needed when they were miscarrying or they were having issues in their pregnancy. And they were allowed to get so septic that they either had to have a hysterectomy and now can no longer have children, or it, this is dangerous, is it not?
Yeah, everything that you said is true. And quite honestly, you don't need me to tell you about this stuff because it's been in the news. I'm sure that all of your listeners, watchers, whatever, are pretty familiar with that. But there are other sides to this that people may not consider. One of them is the effect on IVF, in vitro fertilization, which as a spinoff of the Dobbs decision and then subsequent decisions by, I think it was the Alabama Supreme Court, there are many centers throughout the country that have put a pause or completely eliminated their in vitro fertilization programs. This is a tremendous technology by which people can start or add to their families, those who have difficulty conceiving in a normal way. You know, that is a casualty of this as well. The other part of this that many people don't realize is that women's health centers frequently provide comprehensive medical care to women during their reproductive years. So again, I talked about diabetes before. A women's health center might be the place where that diabetes is picked up, either with pregnancy or not. Sexually transmitted diseases, genitourinary things, hypertension. I mean, all of the things that can affect people, heart disease, big killer in women, underappreciated. These centers are the ones that have been providing that care. They may very well be casualties as well. So again, access and basic health care are at risk.
I highly encourage you to read this letter from a large number, 48 healthcare professionals and former professionals who essentially wrapped things up in this letter to the American people. We, the undersigned, understand the critical role health policy plays in helping Americans live longer, healthier lives. We believe a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for more expensive, more dangerous, less accessible health care. We believe a second Trump term would be harmful to the health of American families, and we urge Americans of all stripes to reject him and his policies. Andrew Gurman, a former president of the American Medical Association, thank you so very much for spending some time with us, Andrew, and shedding light on this. I really appreciate it. Have a good
day. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Have a good day, everybody.
Stay close. Thanks. News is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you ever want to see what she looks like, because that's the draw, Luke, is the puppy. I'm sorry. You can watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. She is stretched out. She's in one of those puppy poses where she's sleeping, and it looks like, gosh, how can that even be comfortable?
Yeah, there's nothing to apologize there for. I'm completely aware that she's the draw. She's... I don't know why, but her head is out of the dog bed that she has here and doesn't look comfortable at all, but she is passed out.
She is out. She is out, but good.
Just missing my dog so much right now.
You can always join the show. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Like we mentioned, leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We wanted to talk about this. It came up a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what we were talking about, but it's just about all of the information now that is available on YouTube.
Yeah.
So YouTube isn't just for old videos and old, you know, SNL episodes. There's all kinds of instructional videos on YouTube. So you can pretty much fix just about anything.
Or build something.
You
know, it's a really great resource that I have just started to get into and understand. And it is great because all you type something into Google and just hit the videos tab. There'll be at least five videos. They're like, yep, here, I'm here to show you how to change your light switch. The actual light switch, not the cover, but the actual light switch. Here we go. This is what you do first. And it's like a 2-minute video, and that's all you need.
So we're curious, what have you learned from YouTube University? What videos have you watched on YouTube that you've really found to be handy and useful for whatever project you're doing or whatever you're doing around the house? 855-752-4842. Steve from Milwaukee texting in, dyeing stuff is useful on YouTube. I'm assuming that he means like dyeing t-shirts and things. I also learned how to change out the shower stems for the hot and cold water. Pretty involved. Have to have the right tools. Now I know what cowbell sockets are.
We just need more cowbell
what
sockets.
What more do you need?
More cowbell sockets, actually. There you go. I should have just waited. That joke just played itself.
Wrote itself. Absolutely.
Liz from Saukville said, on YouTube, we have learned how to remove a metal object from the garbage disposal, clean out clothes dryer vents. That's an important one.
Cleaning out dryer vents.
Yep, and also your washing machine, like, you know,
your dishwasher.
No, your laundry.
Clothes washer.
Yeah, there's a little thing at the bottom there where you can like let out excess water that might build up.
Mm-hmm. And it's gross. It's got gunk in it. You got to clean it from time to time.
And replace an amplifier in your car. I mean,
that's impressive.
That's impressive. I mean, that's for me with YouTube University. That's where the most things, between learning how to just replace very simple things on my car to learning, I'm building a guitar kit right now. So I'm looking up wiring instructions, making sure I don't solder my fingers together.
What have you learned by watching YouTube University? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brendan on the live stream says, I changed out the headlight bulbs in my car. My husband just did that.
Yep. I've done that. Windshield wiper arm. What was it? Oh,
I've done both of those.
Changing oil. My brother-in-law taught us how to change our oil on our cars, which is going to save you so much money a year. And also your filters. The filters are one of the biggest dodges in car repair. Those can be found on Amazon for like $12.
Yep. And they charge you, what, $30 for a new filter?
They charged my mom. They were going to charge my mom $100 for the filter and the labor. It would cost me $12 to buy it and put it in her car. It is a 30-second, quote-unquote, repair.
But there are some things you need, though, right? You need the oil pan.
Well, yes. With the,
just a couple. But it's not like it's a huge investment.
No.
But you do need a couple of things in order to do that.
I think if you spend like $50, you're going to be able to get everything. And it's going to take you, and once you get good at it and quick at it, it's going to take you 15 minutes.
And you'll be so glad.
I pay $35 for the oil and the oil filter every time I do it. That usually costs me $90 when I take it. So
I'm bringing my car over to your
house. Seriously, everyone should learn how to change their own oil. It's not scary. It's so easy. If I can do it, it's so easy. You'll be saving so much money a year. And like you said, you just spend some money on
a little investment.
Yeah, and then you're good to go.
855-752-4842. What have you learned by watching YouTube University? Paul from Spooner is joining us. Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much for joining
us.
I replaced the transmission on a BMW motorcycle off of YouTube.
Seriously?
I found confidence in myself doing it. Yes. It was the difference between bringing it to the junkyard because I couldn't afford to bring it to a dealer. They won't work on something that old. BMW dealers are hard to deal with. But
right.
I replaced the transmission off of a YouTube because I had confidence in myself to do it. I found a used one online, bought it. It's not working.
And did you have to buy any special tools or anything, Paul?
Yeah, but they tell you which ones to buy. But it was still cheaper than a dealer that wouldn't work on it.
Yeah.
A dealer wouldn't work on it.
At all.
I had to do it myself.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
They simply said, we don't work on anything over 20 years old. I had to do it myself.
Are they owned by Apple?
Well,
boom, got them.
I'm confused by that, Paul, because there's a market for older BMWs. I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah, but I had it online to sell it used, and I got a bunch of lowball offers. So it's like, you know what? I'll fix it myself and keep it.
Well, good for you. Well done.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no problem.
Well,
I can do that.
And
thank you so much for listening, Paul, and thank you for calling. Really appreciate it.
Paul mentioned is very, very important thing to say is having the confidence in yourself to do it. If you're going to start watching these videos to do small repairs, create. Andrew from Maine on the live stream says my wife has multiple crafts that she has watched videos for: paint pouring, epoxy tumblers, sublimation videos, 3D printing, and now laser engraving.
Wow.
You got to have a bit of confidence or the adventurous spirit, because if you just think, well, I can't do that, you're never going to do it. You have to be willing to fail or at least get a little frustrated at the beginning, because yeah, you're not being taught by someone right next to you, and you might be watching. I'm like, when I do my car stuff, I'm watching it on my phone. So
you're right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Paul said it correctly. You got to have the confidence and know that you can do it. And at the end of the day, if you can't, then either find someone who can or, you know, try again, because the stuff isn't that hard. They just made us think it is.
As long as they're not promoting like self brain surgery or something like that, you know,
no,
that,
Jane,
that
they're
I would
not
stay away from, just from my point of view. Like, you never know.
But anything up to that, you're cool with
self lobotomies. You know, that sounds like a bad idea.
Well, some people, I'm not going to stop them. So
that sounds like a Cards Against Humanity card, like self-lobotomies, YouTube tutorial, like that. That sounds like an answer there.
What have you learned from YouTube University? 855-752-4842.
We got a bunch of texts here coming
Excellent.
In. Water heater maintenance, temperature pressure relief, valve replacement, flushing it yearly. That was Matt from Germantown. Someone listening to 262, how to get rid of black ant mix, sugar and baking soda in the little dish. We're getting lessons right now.
Excellent.
And set it on your cupboard. Adios, ants. And then Cam made an important distinction that's very true. If you drive a V8, never skimp on oil or filters. Otherwise, like he's saying, it's fine to cheap out. Now, I'm not cheaping out. I get the oil I have to get for my car, and I get fine filters and everything. But yeah, you want to make sure you listen to the people in the video who tell you what you need to buy, or else you could be screwing things up.
Well, you're gonna make things. You could make things worse for yourself, right?
Yeah. This one I love. Laura from Rapids, from Wisconsin Rapids, saying, as a single mom, YouTube is sincerely priceless. I'm at a point where I can try everything myself with YouTube first. And if I get stuck, I can call for help and accurately communicate with the repair person when they get here. And that's actually great too.
Yeah.
You're teaching yourself the equipment and how it works. Even if you can't repair it, you can at least say, oh, that certain lug, hey, your cowbell screw is missing.
Your cowbell bolt.
Exactly.
855-752-4842. What have you learned by watching YouTube University? Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning. I can't count how many times I've checked into YouTube videos to learn how to fix something or just learn how to run it better. And that ranges from repairing computers to auto mechanics and house repairs. And I'm not particularly great with any of this stuff, but I'm, you know, if you watch the video long enough, it sinks in a lot better than printed instructions. One thing, though, I used to change my oil by hand all the time, and I can't now for various reasons. But those who want to do it, more power to you. But for God's sakes, when you've got a oil pan with dirty oil in it, don't pour it down the sewer. No.
Absolutely.
Take it to a hazardous waste dump site. You know, pour it off into a jug that you can get for old oil, and a recyclable jug. And take it in, and it's you're doing the environment a favor when you do that. You're not, you know, you're helping yourself financially, yeah. But do the community a favor too.
Oh, that's an excellent point, Ron, and a great reminder. Really, it is. Thank you so much.
I have empty oil bottles, the plastic ones that I buy them in. And I pour them in there. I take them to AutoZone. They recycle them for free. You can take them and drop them off. They'll take care of it for you. So that way it's one less thing in your garage. And also, correct, never, ever dump it down a toilet or a sink. That is nasty and damaging to your pipes as well as the water.
Well, let's not forget that everything ends up in water sources that we drink from.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see garbage on the streets and there's a big rain, and that stuff gets washed into the sewer systems. And like you said, with the used oil, everything ends up in our water systems. And so that's something we all need to kind of collectively look out for each other.
Matt from Germantown just reached out again. He said to me, how much to have you change my oil? I'll tell you what, Matt. If you invest,
I want to know this price point.
No. I'll do it for free. If you invest in all the things you need, and there's not many, it's the bucket, it's the clamp for the oil filter, it's the ramps for your tires, and if you have a socket set laying around too, I will show you how to do it, and you can do it yourself. It is not hard. It is literally undoing a bolt.
YouTube University in real life.
Yeah.
It's presented by Greg Bach.
It's true. It's literally, it's so simple. I was almost angry at myself because my brother-in-law is like, I change my oil all the time. I'm like, did you go to Harvard? And he's like, no, I didn't. So let me show you.
No, idiot. He went to YouTube University.
Exactly. And he does. He does. He's really like turned me onto that idea of just like, just go online. I mean, companies will put tutorials on their websites to show you how to assemble things, how to troubleshoot. Don't, you know, if it's a warranty issue, I would
Yeah,
consult you don't the warranty.
Yeah,
don't
screw up your
warranty. Right to repair is a very important thing for us to be able to repair our own goods when you have a warranty or anything like that. I have a YouTube project started in my kitchen right now.
What
I was
are
working
you doing?
On it over the weekend. I'm making a pea trellis for my pea plants out in the garden because trellises are very expensive. For
they
no
are.
Reason.
Yeah, they really are.
For no reason.
Yeah.
So I bought I sprung a little bit. I got the nicer pine so that it would last, but very affordable way to make a pea trellis.
Yes.
Off of YouTube.
It's out there, seriously. And Matt finally comes back with us. I have a PhD, but I wasn't in that curriculum. Thank you, Matt, for reaching out.
Greg's Mobile Oil for you.
Yes.
Coming to a neighborhood near you.
Happily. I'll show you so many things.
When we return, we're going to talk all things Harley Museum. Tim McCormick will be here. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Executive producer Luke Mathers in for Calvin today. Thank you so very much for joining us right before the 12 o'clock news. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. We like to talk to him every couple months and find out what's going on at the Harley Museum. Tim McCormick is here. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. I couldn't be better. I'm out here on the patio enjoying life and enjoying the sunshine while we still have it here in Milwaukee at the world's only Harley-Davidson Museum.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a really busy summer. It always is at the Harley Museum. And I know you have some special things in May. So where do you want to start with what's happening at the Harley Museum this month?
Like I said already, we've got the patio open. You might see some diners across the way here. We've actually got some bikes already parked out on campus here. Bike nights have kicked off. We've got a couple under our belt. We've got the Whiskey Bells playing here on Thursday. Like I've said before, anytime you decide to join us in May here at the Harley-Davidson Museum, you're going to have a great time.
And are these things that people have to sign up for, Tim, like the bike night and things like that, or register or anything?
You don't even need a bike for bike night. You can come on down by boat, by foot, by scooter, roller skates, whatever the case may be. Free live music every Thursday. Like I said, we've got some of our favorite bands from Milwaukee, from Wisconsin. No need to sign up. Just bring a good attitude and get ready to have a good time every Thursday through September here.
We were talking earlier about the fact that we didn't know this a long time ago, I don't know when it was exactly, but some time ago in the earlier days of Jane Matinair, she owned her very own motorcycle as well, was an uneasy rider. So now you don't need to have one to go there. And I want to thank Luke Mathers for playing Slow Ride, because instead of being like a rocking tune, when you're like, Slow Ride, take it
Easy.
Tim, I was telling him when I first got my bike, and this is like 20 years ago, one of the first times I was taking it out, I dropped it coming out of my own driveway, and it was like the old laughing, slow motion kind of... So, yeah, I was an easy rider. I kept it for a couple of years, and I always felt like I was more of a hazard to everyone else. So, not everyone should drive a bike. Some of us are better passengers.
Gotcha. Got two up. We've got lots of two up riders. However you want to get down here.
There you go.
There are classes too. I mean, is Harley involved at all with motorcycle riding classes?
Yeah, Riding Academy takes place at just about every dealership throughout the country here. I went through it myself. A great way to learn how to ride a motorcycle. If you've already got a license, it's a great refresher course. And I tell people, even if you're sticking to just driving in that cage, it's a great idea to take this class just to get a sense of what motorcyclists are encountering on the road. And hopefully you're a little bit more watchful when you're out on the roads as well.
Well, and it was nice. I remember when we took it, I think we practiced at... It might have been the parking lot of what was then County Stadium. So it's right. not like they're taking you out of the freeway right away. You know, let's go hit the road. We're going to Spooner. You know, it's just a lot more. Let's practice this for a while. Make sure you know.
After you get that license, you can come on down for another kind of easy rider experience. We've got demos every Saturday. And if you have that motorcycle endorsement on your license, you can take out a brand new Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
Wow.
And it is a very nice leisurely roll through the Menominee Valley neighborhood here. Turn around just about at American Family Field, depending on brewer schedules there.
Sure, sure.
But a nice introductory way to... get a little more street confidence after you get that license.
It's important. It really is.
I mean, I told you earlier that I the only way I would drive a motorcycle is if it had three wheels, because I'm a scaredy cat. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm a scaredy cat.
But
not at all.
But it's
we
also
got the three wheelers,
right? And it's also about knowing what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I remember when I first got my license, I was very excited to encounter rush hour traffic because it meant I didn't have to zoom everywhere. And I could take my time and get a little more comfortable on the bike. Everything at your own pace.
Absolutely. Tim McCormick is here with the Milwaukee Harley Museum. What else should we spotlight for the last couple of minutes that we have you for, Tim? What do you want
to
highlight?
We're very excited to bring the Armed Forces ride back to campus on Saturday here. We are in the midst of Armed Forces celebration throughout Milwaukee. That leads up to Saturday, a great ride and ceremony that takes place here on campus. And as a part of that celebration, we're offering all retired and active military members free admission on Saturday.
Nice.
So a great way to commemorate and say thanks to all those brave men and women who are fighting the forces for us. And then they can get free admission on Saturday. Just a great way to wrap up Armed Forces Week that takes place here in Milwaukee.
And if you never visited the museum, you really should. There's so much to see. It's so interesting just how this has developed and changed over the years and adapted and all of those things. You have a wonderful gift shop. There are sparkly things in your gift shop that I'm all about.
All right, I'm making note of this. Buy Jane sparkly Harley things.
I'll make a note too here.
And of course, your restaurant there has great food.
Yeah, so we are really leaning into, of course, Cinco de Mayo is about a week or two past here, but we're really leaning into those south of the border flavors for our specials all month long. Luke, I see your pup in the background there. We wanted to make sure to tell everybody our patio at Motor is pet friendly. Our chefs even went out and developed their own recipe for treats for your four-legged friends, and they've got a little Harley mold that they'll be dishing those out with. So a great idea to bring down something for the pup. And feed your own belly for lunches or dinners here at Motor.
Very, very
now
cool.
Now I'm missing my dog and I'm hungry. Well, Thanks a lot, everyone.
We will put a link up to the Milwaukee Harley Museum in our show notes once the show gets posted. It takes about an hour. Tim McCormick from the Harley Museum, always a pleasure to talk to you, Tim. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Great to see you, Tim.
Thanks so much. Hope to see you soon.
Take care. Thank you. Thank you to our guests this morning, Tim McCormick, Representative Lakeisha Myers from Milwaukee. Thank you to Greg and to Luke and to all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing runs at all. And thank you most of all to everyone for calling and for texting and most of all for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.